once again, it's good to see you here today, and we're glad to be back home. I just want to say once again, I just appreciate so many of you who showed up yesterday to come out and help us get the church back into order so we could have service here. If you're visiting for the first time, we had a fire here a couple Sundays ago, and so we were unable to be in our building the last two Sundays, and so we're back in today, and we just got the clearance on Friday to do that, and then Saturday we had so many of you showing up, and we're cleaning everything down and vacuuming, and some of you brought food, and just so much. Some of the guys worked on the sound. I'll tell you, there's so much that goes on into a service like this, things you would never think about. I mean, but we take for granted there are a lot of things, like a lot of time and preparation. A lot of the sound guys had to bring the equipment back over to here. And of course, a lot of the stuff we're using now is actually borrowed equipment until we get settled up with our insurance and get the new equipment ordered that we wanted to do. And so piecing things back together, getting EQs back together, sound systems back together is not a very easy thing. And those guys have spent hours over the last few weeks doing what they do. So can you just give everybody a hand clap who worked hard? Yes. Well, today it's also good to see a good friend today. I haven't got a chance to shake your hand, Les, but it's good to see Les Melton here. He was a good missionary friend of ours from Honduras, and he's in the States and able to be here this morning. It's good to have you, Les. Welcome here. Great missionary, doing great work in Honduras. Stand this morning. Can you just stand where you're at this morning? You got to stretch your hands to Les. I just want to pray for him. Can we just pray for you today? Can you just stand where you're at? Stretch your hands toward him. Father, right now, Lord, we just pray blessing over Les, Lord, everything he's doing there in Honduras, Lord. You see the many schools and churches that he's overseeing. God, he's planting new churches after new churches. God, he's raising up leaders and multiple leaders through schools and schools of ministry and through colleges. And God, I just pray right now, Father, as he continues, God, to go forward with the vision. God, you open up, Lord, monetary, Lord, advancement. God, may money not be a problem for him. God, may vision and people power not be a problem for him. But God, continue to send, God, resources of people, resources of money, God, resources of things his way, God, to bless him, Lord, to further the gospel that's going forth in Honduras. God, we pray that everywhere that his family goes, Father, may you give them that ground. God, everything they proclaim for you, God, you give them that ground. Lord, we come against any attack the enemy has had for his life. God, we come against any attack the enemy has sought to destroy his life. And God, we thank you, God, that you have sustained him, you have healed him, and God, you're speaking out, Lord, as a fresh anointing that's going to go forth out of him, God, as he continues, God, to reach out, Lord, and to do, God, things that he's been leading and doing. God, I know that, God, you have purpose in his heart, Lord. The vision is not dead, but God, much alive. And God, I thank you, God, for what you're doing in his heart. God, we speak, Lord, and just thank you and blessing over this ministry. We say it together, amen? Amen. Well, today we're going to continue in our series we started a couple weeks ago on the power of fasting. We've been on a 21-day fast. We are now on day approximately 15, right? 14, day 14 of our fast together. We have one more week of our fast. We're doing 21 days of fasting. And many people are fasting food. Some are fasting doing a Daniel's diet. Many are fasting internet, TV, Facebook, things that God's laying on your heart. And I've just been so proud of many of you who are sticking with it. And some of you, I know it's been rough. It's rough, isn't it? It's not easy. It's not easy to fast. And the things that you're fasting is the thing you're going to be tempted with right away, isn't it? We know that to be the case, that as soon as you say you're going to fast food, you're going to be tempted with food. If you're going to fast meat, you're going to be craving that big steak. Colonel Sanders is calling your name every time you drive by the sign. I mean, you can't drive by anywhere and you're going to see the hot sign for Krispy Kreme's flashing every city you go into. I mean, this thing's going to happen. And you're going to be out there saying, oh, I want those things. And you're going to be tempted to break your fast. But I just continue to encourage you, stick with it. Stick with it this last week. It's going to be awesome when you come through it and you realize the self-discipline you put yourself through in order to grow in your advancement of what God's wanting to do in your life. He's going to bring clarity of vision to your life. He's going to be answering prayers. He's going to be quickly healing your body. He's going to be doing so many things. And today I want to talk to you about fasting for your breakthrough. Fasting for your breakthrough. How many remember when you first fell in love? Anybody remember that? Raise your hand if you can remember when you first fell in love. Anybody remember that? I mean, how many know we did some crazy things when you fell in love, didn't you? Ladies, how many can raise your hands? Your husband was a whole different person when he first fell in love than what you ever thought he would be. I don't want to ask if he's a different person now, okay? That's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you, but the person you thought that he was, all of a sudden he became this guy who was willing to be a fool for you, do things that he was maybe not, you thought he would never do. I remember in college that I had a roommate who played guitar, and we would sit in our room, and we would write songs, and I'd go over to my wife, who I'm married to now, and I would knock on her window after hours. And Bible college, that's a no-no. So, you know, I'm doing this in Bible college, okay? So after hours, sneaking out, knocking on the windows, and she'd come to the window, and I'd be singing these songs to her. I mean, I can't sing, okay? But I didn't care because I was in love. How many remember when you was in love and you go out, you know, and you take someone out to eat, and you'd spend all this money on a nice, expensive meal, and you'd eat like 3 bites, you know, because you just had a hard time eating in front of him because you were in love. You remember that? Yeah. Now you don't care at all. You're just all going. But you know, back in the day, you were so much in love, you didn't care about giving up a meal, was it? I mean, you could go 2 or 3 meals, it didn't bother you. I wonder if that's the same attitude that the Lord is looking for us now, that we would be so much in love with him, it doesn't bother us to give up some meals. It doesn't bother us to give up sugar and bother us to give up meat. It doesn't bother us to fast for a day or 2 or 3. It doesn't bother us to give up the internet, the TV, the things that God maybe is dealing with you, things to get back to the purpose of saying, God, I want to spend this designated time refocusing back on the one true love. That we get back to this place, and yeah, it sounds a little crazy to other people, but that's the way it was. When you fell in love with your spouse, your friends thought you was crazy. You like him? You like her? And all these things happen, and people thought you're crazy. You're doing this? You're going to skip playing ball with the guys just to go out and spend time with that girl? I mean, you would do things that ordinarily you wouldn't want to do, but when you're in love, that happens. And so we know that through this fast, I'm praying that God stirs our hearts again to saying, God, we get back to that loving feeling. Get back to that loving feeling. Say, God, I'm willing to do what it takes. I want to have those butterflies again. I want to have that renewed place in my heart. And we are to fast. As a matter of fact, Jesus was asked about fasting in Mark chapter 2, verses 18 through 20. Some people came to Jesus and they asked him, how is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees, they're fasting. But talking about his disciples, they're not fasting. Look what Jesus answered. How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as I have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom, that's Jesus, will be taken away from them. And on that day, what will happen? They will fast. And so we know that when Jesus returned to heaven, that even though his Holy Spirit is here now, even though his Holy Spirit has been given to us to be full in our life, for us to be baptized and full of the Holy Spirit, that we can walk in the spirit of the fullness of the Holy Spirit, there still comes a time when God has asked every one of us, Jesus has asked every one of us, that we are to spend time fasting. It's a very lost part of the gospel that many times is overlooked, because really think about it, who really wants us to get up and say, hey, it's time for us to give up some things. It's not easy to get up and say, I want to go with that meal. It's not easy to get up and say, I want to turn the TV off for 21 days. It's not easy to get up and say, I want to give up Facebook. I want to give up these things that God's asking me to do. They're not easy at all. And if anyone tells you it's easy, they're lying. It is not easy. It is not easy at all. But it's a discipline that we are to do for seasons in our life at different times. And I believe even the best time to do it is at the first of the year, because we're setting the pace for the rest of the year. Spiritually, we're setting the climate of saying, God, this is what we want, and this is what we're expecting, and we're expecting our hearts to get back and to focus onto the best that God has for us. So Jesus has commanded us to fast. When we fast, we realize this, that fasting releases things in our life, that fasting, it brings a spirit of release. Fasting brings a spirit of release. Mark 9:29, look what it says. After Jesus had gone indoors with his disciples and asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? Now what's happening here is this, that this man brought his young child to Jesus, and he was possessed by a spirit that would cast him down, and he many times would throw him into the fire, and he would be going to convulsions, and things would happen. And the disciples were praying for him, and nothing was happening. And so he said, hey, can you cast this guy, kid, can you heal my son? And he says, I brought him to your disciples, and they prayed, and nothing's happened. And Jesus is like, how long am I going to be with you, you faithless generation? Bring the kid to me. And he prays for him, of course, and the spirit leaves the child right away, and he collapses, and Jesus picks him up, and the boy is made whole. the spirit had left him right away. There's a spirit of release that comes there. But look what the spirit of release happens. He said, Jesus replied, this kind of anointing to release these spirits can only happen through what? By prayer and fasting. Through prayer and fasting. It's a combination. It's just not the fasting. It's the prayer and fasting. See, fasting brings a spirit of release in your life. Isaiah 58:6 says, is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. When we fast, this is what's happening, that we're loosing. There's a spirit of release that comes when you fast. There's a spirit of release that you can pray and stand upon the promise of the Word of God. It says that when we fast and we pray, that we are loosing the bonds of wickedness. We are letting go of the heavy burdens. We're being free by the oppressed, and that you break every yoke that's holding you back. When you go through a fast, you are actually allowing the Spirit of God to take every chain off of you. You're allowing everything to drop, all the heavy things to drop, and say, Jesus, I belong to you. I am committed to you, and nothing's going to hold me back. It's a releasing that comes. There's also a spirit of restoration that comes. Fasting releases a spirit of restoration. Isaiah 58:8-9. Then your light shall break forth like the morning, and your healing shall spring forth speedily. Look what it says. Healing comes how fast? Fast, speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Wow. How many would like to have the glory of the Lord be your rear guard? How many know I can see what's coming in front of me, but it's the things I don't see that oftentimes bring me down. It's the things I don't see that's happening. This is what it says, the glory of the Lord becomes my rear guard. When I fast, this is what happens. The glory of the Lord becomes my rear guard. What's that mean? That means the glory of the Lord's got my back. What an awesome concept this morning to put it in the heart as I'm walking through my job tomorrow, as I'm walking through any difficult situation, that when I'm fasting and praying, that the glory of the Lord's got my back. He knows where I am. He sees where I am. And we thank what God is doing today. Look what he says. The Lord will answer. You shall call. When you fast, you shall call. And the Lord will what? He might show up. No. You might call and you might get put on hold for a while, right? You might call and you might get a machine, a computer that tells you, thank you for calling. Push 1, 2, 3, or 4. And they go, I mean, don't you hate that when you call and you can't get a hold of anybody and you just got to continue to push one button to another button to another button. And finally, after about 20 minutes, you get a hold of a real person and you're like, thank you. The other day, I was trying to get a hold of somebody. That's all it was. It took me 20 minutes to get a hold of a live person. And finally, I finally got a hold of a live person. I said, thank you. They're like, what? I said, I got to a live person. Thank you. I'm glad we don't have to operate that way with our God. It says right here, when we call, when we're fasting, it says, when you call, what the Lord will what? He will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here am I. Man, some of you today, you've been crying out, feeling like maybe, God, you're just not hearing me. God, you're just not hearing what I'm going through. God, you're just not hearing my prayers. My prayers are just hitting the ceiling and not going any further. I'm here to tell you that when you fast along with your prayers, that there is something that's supernatural that comes along with that, that you call out and God hears that request because you are humbling yourself through fasting. You're putting your flesh back under subjection. You are saying, God, I am wanting to put my priorities right and putting you back to the proper place, elevating you back to the center of my worship, to the pinnacle of my worship. God comes and he hears us. Joel 2:25 says, God restores what the cankerworm and the locust came and they eat the crops. It says, God restores those things back. It's a promise he gave to Joel. He says that the locust came and they ate the crops away. But when we fast, that God restores those things back, that the enemy has stolen back. He gives those harvests back to our life. God also brings a spirit, fasting brings a spirit of reward. There's a spirit of reward that is given out. Hebrews 11:6 says it like this. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to the God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder. He's a what? Let's say it again. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not to those who just kind of say, God, I wish he was here, but those who are diligent. How do we be diligent? I tell you, fasting is a time of saying, God, I am being diligent. I am being very serious. I'm very serious. I'm just not telling you that I want more of you. I'm going out of my way to just show you that, God, I'm making more room for you in my life. I'm giving up things so that I can have more of you. I'm being diligent. I'm being faithful in what you've given me. I'm stewarding my time better. I'm stewarding my resources better. And, God, I'm seeking more of you. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So when we fast, there's a spirit of reward that comes. I just want to prophesy right now and tell you, somebody here, that you're going to receive a reward through this fast right now. That you've been walking through a season. You've been walking through a season of being so dry, and you've been seeking the blessing that God has for you, and there's a reward that's coming to you. Do not give up. Do not give up. God's got a reward that he's going to pour out upon you for those who stick with it. See, fasting makes us sure that we stay vertical, doesn't it? You know, we are horizontal in our relationship with each other, and that's great. And I believe that's such an important part of the church, is that we realize that God, and we see in Scripture where God has destined that we form relationships with each other, that we help encourage each other, we pray one for another, we teach each other, we encourage each other, all these things, that we fellowship together. All through Scripture, we see relationships are really big to the Lord. And so, if we're not careful, though, the church can become so horizontal in relationship that we forget that the main priority is also what? It's vertical. So when we fast, we're saying, God, I'm making sure my vertical is lined up. God, I'm putting you back up into the place where it needs to be. Matter of fact, if you think about it, it's the horizontal relationship of the church and the vertical relationship with the Father forms a what? A cross. It's the cross. With each other, and most of all, importantly, with our Savior. So we realize that when we fast, it creates a point of us getting back, keeping the vertical relationship with God to the place where it needs to be. So when we fast, what are we doing? You know, I was reading the story of Gandhi the other day when Gandhi was fasting for India when they were going through war and being persecuted. And, of course, Gandhi wasn't even a Christian. Of course, many of you know the story behind Gandhi. He wanted to be a Christian, but the church rejected him that day and there. And so, but he went out and he tried to do some good things. And he put out a hunger strike saying he wouldn't eat until the war stopped and India was quit being persecuted. And it was that got national and worldwide attention every time he went on his hunger strike. Of course, it brought peace to India. And that's somebody who's doing a fasting and bringing an end to world, bringing world peace there to his country in India. Can you imagine what happens when we put our fast behind what God's wanting to do? Can you imagine the power of putting our fast behind what God's wanting to do in our life, in our family, in our church, in our community, in our nation, in our world? Can you imagine putting the power of our fast behind that? I mean, God has moved. God has moved. If you and I notice that, if the world notices that, how much does God notice that and see that, honor that? So when we are, basically, when we go on a fast, spiritually, what are we doing? We're putting out a strike against hell. We're on a hunger strike. We're on a Facebook strike. We're on a internet strike. We're on a TV strike. Against what? Against hell. We're saying enough's enough in our life. We're saying enough's enough. We are stopping the hand of the enemy and say, God, we are going to stop this right now. We're unleashing the power of the Holy Spirit to do battle in our community, in our family, in our lives, to war on our behalf and say, God, enough's enough. We need to refocus. We need to see your hand stretch back out a blessing. I'm tired of not walking under the reward that you have for my life. But God, I'm going to diligently seek you. I'm going to humble myself and say, enough's enough. And some of you, maybe you haven't reached that point yet, but I can tell you as a pastor, enough is enough. Because I'm privileged to information that you maybe you don't have. And I can tell you by counseling many, many, many of you that in my heart, I say, God, enough's enough. It's tough for us to raise up and say, God, that we stand up and say, God, we're going to loose what the enemy is trying to do in our families, in our children, in our finances, in our health, and say, enough's enough. Am I alone here today? Do you believe what I'm saying? You got to get that in your heart. So what is fasting doing? Fasting is saying, God, enough's enough. God, we're releasing your hand to diligently seek you, to come and bring your favor. We don't fast for these reasons. Let me quickly give them to you. We don't fast to obtain merit with God. Just remember that. We don't fast to obtain merit with God. We never fast to receive mercy from God, because it's only through grace that we receive merit with God. It's only, you've heard me preach that time after time again. We did a whole series on grace this last year, and we continue to say that. We are only receive merit of God by grace, and fasting does not bring us merit with God. It doesn't bring us grace. We receive that grace freely by the cross when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior. Fasting does not do that. Fasting will bring you sin conscious, though. Fasting will bring to your attention, you know what, there's sin in my life that I need to stop doing. There's sin in my life that I haven't fully given up to God. There's habits, there's addictions, there's things that I'm still hanging on to that I need to get rid of. Fasting will do that. Listen, don't fast just to lose weight, really. And if, I know, listen, the good thing about fasting is this, if you're fasting food, you're going to lose weight, and that's not a bad thing. We all could lose a few pounds, and we could be pretty happy about that, right? I was talking to somebody the other day, and he's telling me, he said, man, I lost 10 pounds, Pastor. I wasn't even trying doing the Daniel fast. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just going to happen. I'll tell you, if you do a Daniel fast or you do a pure fast, you're going to lose weight. That's going to happen. But we never enter into the fast saying, I can't wait to fast so I can lose some weight. We've lost our priority, okay? We lost our priority of that. So we enter to it not to lose weight, even though that's going to be a side effect. Matter of fact, I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about this, but I just tell you, the Daniel fast is a great way of purifying your body. You know, the Lord and Daniel worked out this fast many years ago before nutritionists and doctors ever knew what was going on. But comes to find out, that's a pretty good way of detoxing your body. It's a great way of allowing impurities to leave your body. And doctors even talk about the drinking of all that water and getting rid of some of those things, just eating the vegetables, getting rid of sugar and bread and protein for 21 days, and just eating vegetables and things like that. That, man, it really purifies and detoxes your body. There's a lot of good, healthy things that come along with that. But we don't do it just for those reasons. Make sure we keep our priorities right and say, God, I'm fasting because I'm on a strike against what the enemy's trying to do in my life, against my family. And I don't fast so that others will notice me. Don't fast thinking, well, I got to do this because everybody else is doing it. And if I don't do it, then I have nothing to talk about on Facebook with my friends who are doing it. So I don't listen, we don't fast so that other people notice I'm fasting. Matter of fact, most of the time our fasts are really private things. I've called a public fast, and so publicly we're talking about it here as a congregation. There's times when the Lord said, call a public fast, call the church, call the nation to a fast, and that's what we're doing. So we're talking about it publicly. Matter of fact, many times on Facebook, Wilson says, saying fasting, I know many of you are saying the 21-day challenge is kind of the code for us. You're talking to other people who maybe don't understand. That's a good thing. We don't have to get on Facebook and just brag about it. Oh, I'm fasting today, and it's not a thing of look at me. It's a thing of God, look at you. God, I'm looking to you. So we don't enter a fast doing these things, but we do enter a fast saying, God, we want more of you. Because when we fast, we know that we're breaking, things are breaking in our life. Joel chapter 2 says that poverty is broken. The whole chapter is talking about how the land is under famine. And he says, call a fast. And it says, when you fast and pray, he says that he's going to restore back the crops. He's going to restore back the things they've lost. Poverty, the spirit of poverty is broken when you fast. That you can break and claim to God, according to Joel chapter 2, it says when you fast, that God, you're going to restore back the crops. You're going to restore back the things that are our resources. So when you're fasting and praying, you're saying, God, you're breaking the poverty spirit in my heart, in my family, in my finances. And sometimes, you know, we're going through times and we're being faithful in our tithe and offering, and we're giving our tithe and offering, yet sometimes things aren't breaking. When you fast, say, God, I am being faithful in my tithes and offering, and God, I am just standing on your word, and I'm breaking that spirit of poverty over my life when I fast. Isaiah 58:8, we talked about this verse a few minutes ago. Healing manifests very quickly. It says healing will come quickly. It will come quickly. When you are looking for a healing in your body and you feel like you're not getting anywhere, many times this fasting will speed up the process of healing in your body. Judges 19 and verses 20. Talks about the spirit of sexual addiction being broken. You heard me tell the story a few weeks ago about the Benjamites who came against the children of Israel and how they sent out the armies to go against battle. When they sent out the armies, they lost 18,000 and 22,000 people. And then the third time they came back, and the only thing they did different was they prayed and fasted. And when they went out, they destroyed the whole army. Let me tell you that story. Well, that story is actually based upon the story of the Benjamites, who were a perverse generation. What happened was there was a traveler from Israel who was stopping through their land, who a person tried to put up in their home, as a guest. And as he was there, people found out in the city that he was there, and they came knocking on the door. And there was a group of perverse people coming out and said, bring out this guy and his wife. And they sexually abused him horribly, and to the point where his wife even died. And so when he went back, he told the children of Israel what happened, and they rose up. The whole nation rose up and went on to attack and defeat the Benjamites. They were attacking not just the nation, but they were attacking a spirit of perversion. There was actually a spirit of perversion that God was wanting to attack there and defeat that was hanging over that region. And so when they went, they attacked, and they were not able to break that, only except when they fasted. When they fasted and prayed, when they went and warred against it, they broke that. Some of you here, you've been struggling with sexual addiction a long time, and you're saying, God, I pray and I pray. I'm just not getting past that. I'm just not, I seem like I do good for a while, and maybe I'm getting a hang up here, and I just can't get past it, and I continue to fail. I said, when you fast and pray, you speak that, God, you have given me the power to overcome sexual addiction in my life. You give me the power. I'm not to be a slave to addiction to anything, especially sexual addiction. God, you've given me the power over that in my life. Judges 19:20 talks about how they defeated that army of perversion. Isaiah 58:12 talks about the generational curses are broken. He says, when you fast and pray, that you will break the generational curses. Some of you here, you know what I'm talking about. You've had things passed down from generation to generation. Addiction, habits, attitudes, work ethics, poverty, sickness. Things have been passed down from generation to generation. And you think, man, can I just get past this? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. It does not have to be passed down to your children. Let me say it again. Whatever things that you have struggled with, addiction that maybe your father and you have struggled with, or your mother and you have struggled with, does not have to be passed down from generation to generation. We can stop it right now. And what fasting does in prayer, say, God, we are believing, according to your word, when we fast and pray, we are breaking any generational curses that are being passed down to our children. How many know that's a great thing to pray for? Let me say again, how many know that's a great thing to pray for? Somebody needs to get fired up about that. But let me tell you this, I'll be a gentleman all day long, but you mess with my kids, I'll get in your grill. The pastor hat comes off. It just does, okay? So if you ever see me in public yelling at somebody, it's probably because they mess with my kids, okay? Either that or I'm at a ball game. Either one. It's probably the same thing goes on to him. But you mess with my kids, and you're going to get it from me, okay? And so we should have the same kind of spirit when it comes to God. I don't want to break any generational curses that are trying to be passed down to my children. They're going to walk free. They're going to walk a generation that has a destiny to reach your generation with the love of Christ. They're going to walk. They don't have to wait until they're 25. They don't have to wait until they're 30 to sell to you. God, I believe our children can sell out at the age of 8. I believe our children can sell out at the age of 12. I love it that every one of our teenagers are on the front row right here, praising the Lord, lifting God. We break anything that would stop them. We believe in that. And so when we're fasting and praying, we're saying, God, we're breaking any generational curse. Mark chapter 9, we just talked about that story. We see when the demonic powers were released in that boy. They were broken. When you're fasting, it's just not something we're just doing as a spiritual ritual, but there's something that's going on in the spirit realm. When you fast and pray, if you're just fasting and not praying, then you're just on a diet. But when you fast and you pray, you are seeing spiritual warfare happening in your life. You're seeing things happening in your life. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were expressing concern, saying, as I'm fasting, I feel like I'm spending enough time in prayer. And I'm saying, it's not that you have to spend hours during this fast of praying, but it's saying, God, I am going to pray. If I'm skipping a meal, then I'm going to spend that time, that 15, 20 minutes I was spending that meal, just praying during that day as well. If I'm going to skip my favorite TV show, then I'm going to open up the Word of the Lord and pray during that 30-minute show. If I'm going to take 15 minutes off of Facebook that I usually spend on Facebook, then I'm going to take 15 minutes and pray. And spend time reading God's word. It's just replacing it. Saying, God, I'm seeking after you. God, I want a breakthrough in my life. And I'm believing God for breakthrough in your life. I'm believing God for breakthrough in your health, your finances. Because God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And we see where the spirit of breakthrough comes through those who are fasting and prayer. So this is why it's important. Sometimes we have to say enough's enough. Enough's enough. You've messed with my kids too long. You've messed with my family too long. I've suffered with addiction too long. Some of you need to break that spirit of addiction that's trying to attack your family. You know what I'm saying? Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray right now, release over addiction. God, release of that power of addiction. Be released in people's lives. I believe right now that God is doing something through his Spirit. I believe right now the Holy Spirit is ministering to people right now. As I'm speaking, you're saying, that's me and my family. We're wanting to break these bonds of addiction that's trying to hold to our family. God is wanting to break that through in Jesus' name. He wants you to walk free in Jesus' name. He wants your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren to walk free in the name of the Lord. And God, we speak freedom in their life. Fasting releases these things, the power to walk in these things in our life. Fasting strengthens our inner strength, our inner will. It's coming. The willpower that we have is coming. It's growing. When you're putting your body under subjection, your flesh under subjection, your willpower is growing to say no to things of the world, to say yes to more of God. I'm getting ready to close here. Let me quickly give you two more scriptures, and we're going to close. First of all, let me say this to you. Blessing comes at the end of the fast. Blessing comes at the end of the fast, but the battle comes during the fast. This is when we're fighting. This is when you're facing the temptation. The blessing is coming to those who hold, to those who don't give up. The blessing is coming. The blessing is coming. The blessing is coming. If you're feeling like you're being battled right now, man, I feel like I'm going to attack more right now than I was before I started the fast. Great. That means it's working because the battle comes during the fast, but the blessing comes at the end of the fast. 2 Chronicles 7:14, familiar scripture. If you know, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. That's what fasting is. It's us humbling ourselves. And God, I'm humbling down the things that I want and putting you first. We pray and we seek his face. We turn away from our wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. I forgive their sin and what? And he will heal our land. Let me give you this last scripture as we close. Musician is going to come this morning. Ezra 8:21. I read the scripture the other day, and I've read the scripture before, but it really stood out to me for the first time in a way that never has before. I want you to look at this scripture together. It says, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river, Ahavava, that we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek him to the right way for us. Look what it says here. We proclaim a fast for these three things. This is what he's proclaiming in his fast. This is why we fast. We seek the Lord for the right way for us. How many want God's right way for you and your family? How many say, I'm tired of doing things my own way. I need God's right way. I want the Holy Spirit to lead me in the right way. That's what fasting does. It leads me in the right way. It shows me clarity, as we talked about Daniel's vision. It shows me clarity of the vision. It shows me clarity of the way I should go, the way I should raise my family, the way I should nurture them, the way I should do things. It shows me clearly the right way to go. But this second point really got me, and it stood out to me. The reason we fast, I love the way it says it here. We fast for our little ones. This is why we fast for our little ones. My 8-year-old little girl, this week, she came to her mom. She said, Mom, I sure miss listening to my iPod. And Mom said, why? She goes, well, I'm fasting my iPod. And we were talking about it. We didn't ask her to do anything. We didn't even know she was even listening because of the fire. She was in the messages the last couple of weeks instead of going back there. And she decided on her own she was going to give up her iPod that she got for Christmas. Very big, because you got to realize that Justin Bieber is on that iPod. And she's got Bieber fever. Bieber fever all over. Anybody else got an 8-year-old little girl? Don't know what I'm talking about. You don't talk about it. Bieber fever all over the girl. And she said, I'm giving up my iPod. I thought, God, this is why we do it. This is why we do it. Not only for what God's going to do in us, but we're doing it, Pastor Matt, because of what God's going to do in our family. What God's doing in our children. See, all my children saying they're giving up things. And it hasn't been easy for them. And we didn't ask them to do one thing, but they wanted to do that. I thought, how powerful. How powerful. What things are we teaching our children? What things are we doing in the spirit realm for our children? What things are we breaking the generational curses? What demonic powers are we holding off that maybe we don't even know what's happening? There's power in our fasting. There's power in our fasting. It talks about we're fasting for our possessions, but that really doesn't excite me. It's a lot of things we can go on there. I'm really excited about fasting for our little ones. Today I'm going to invite you just to stand with me this morning. How many here today said, Pastor, as you're speaking, different areas just came to my mind and my heart, and I can tell you, this is what I'm believing for in my fast. This is what I'm believing for as I'm praying, that God can bring these breakthroughs in my life. Anybody here today, just raise your hand in agreement. That's me. These are the things I'm believing for. Yeah, hands going up everywhere. This is what I'm believing for. This is what I'm believing for. This is what I'm believing for. I would tell you that many of you are coming to my mind during this fast and prayer, and I'm spending a lot of time praying for you individually as things are coming to me about your marriage, about your health, about your children, about your finances, about your jobs. Things, I know what you're going through, and I just want to tell you that don't give up. Don't give up. The blessing is coming. The reward is coming to those who are diligently seeking Him. Those who do not faint, but those who say, God, I'm going to wait upon you. I'm going to humble myself before you, God. We're going to fast. We're going to pray. This year is going to be a different year. It's the year of the return. It's the year of the bounce for me and my family. It's the year of the bounce for me and my finances, me and my health, me and my children. It's the year of return for me and my marriage, for me and my job. It's the year of return. Some of you have been looking for your children to come back and get yourself back in the church. I'm telling you, this year God's going to do some great things in your life. So things are going to be broken in your children. Things are going to happen in your marriage. Things are going to happen. I believe that God is the Spirit being broken. So as you're facing adversity right now, no, that's just the enemy trying to stop what God's wanting to do. Because he knows that breakthrough is just right around the corner. He knows that breakthrough is just right around the corner. Don't give up. Hang on. Seek him after you. We're going to look to Yahweh. I mean, we're going to look to Yahweh. Our hope is in Yahweh. Our strength is in Yahweh. We're going to sing this together as we close today. We're going to pray together.
Our God, He lives forever. He reigns in power and might. So let us bow down before Him, for He is exalted. We look to Yahweh, Yahweh. Forever, Yahweh, Yahweh, oh Lord. So we look to Yahweh, Yahweh, and forever Yahweh, Yahweh.
We look to you, Lord.
So we look to Yahweh, Yahweh.
Our hope is in you, Lord.
And our hope is Yahweh, Yahweh. So we look to Yahweh, Yahweh. Forever Yahweh, Yahweh. He shall reign forever. He shall reign forever. He shall reign forever and ever. He shall reign forever. He shall reign forever. He shall reign forever and ever. He shall reign forever. He shall reign forever.
Lift your hands where you're at today. Can you lift your hands up for you?
He shall reign.
Father, right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray, Lord, right now, God, this is a fast of breakthrough, God. There's a breakthrough coming to those who are fasting, seeking after you, God, as we're humbling ourselves before you, God. I pray for breakthrough, Lord, in these areas we talked about today, God, in families and children and finances and poverty, God, and sickness and health. God, we pray today, God, and addiction, God, and sexual, drug addiction, God, different addictions, God. We pray right now freedom from addiction be broken in Jesus' name. God, there be a releasing coming, God, a spirit of reward, a releasing spirit coming that will sweep through the families, God, of this church, Lord. Sweep through the families and children, God, that's restored, coming back to you, God. Lord, jobs opening up, promotions happening, God. Finances, raise coming, Father. I believe that. Father, in Jesus' name, God, release is coming. Business picking back up, Lord. Business going back beyond where they were, God. Walking in a blessing, God. Lord, that they would have the best business on the block. God, that you would give them favor, God, where they're at with clients, Lord, the man. God, thank you, God, you're giving us favor, God, throughout this thing. God, I believe today, God, this fast is a fast of breakthrough, God. It's a fast of breakthrough, God. Our children, Lord, but know that, God, that we are a generation who seeks after you, that our children know that, God, that we're interceding on our behalf, God, that they have a destiny in the Lord. We're fasting for our little ones, God, that they may grow up knowing that, God, you are still alive, full of the Holy Spirit's power, alive in our life today, wanting to reach our generation, God. We believe in you, God. This is a spirit of breakthrough. Spirit of breakthrough, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, a spirit of breakthrough. Come on. Touch the person next to you and say, this is your year of breakthrough. This is your year of breakthrough. Amen. This is your year of breakthrough. Hallelujah. Come on, give God a hand clap. Raise him right now. Hallelujah.
Oh, and he shall reign forever. He shall reign forever. He shall reign forever and ever. He shall reign. Forever he shall reign, forever he shall reign, forever and ever.
Here as we just pray together and worship together. A lot of what's happening right here is what we're going to do. Just praying together, just over different things that have come up. We're going to have prayer focus here. So I invite you to be here Wednesday night. Listen, if you have a testimony of something that's happened during this fast, make sure you let me know. Send me an email on the website. You can send me an email from the website. You can send me a note on Facebook. You can text me or call me, whatever you want to do. get or tell one of the pastors, somebody, let me know, hey, God's done something great during this fast. Next week, we want to share some testimonies of things that have been happening during this fast. We're going to celebrate. It's our last day of our fast, so we're going to come in next Sunday morning. It's going to be a time of celebration you don't want to miss next week. I'm telling you, it's going to be great in here. It's going to be a spirit of release. There's going to be a spirit of reward being poured out next week. I just believe that in my heart. You believe that? Man, God's going to do something great next week. I'm telling you. Thank you so much for being here. God bless you. Turn around and shake someone's hands. It was good to be in church with you today. I'm glad you got to see you.